Guardian Unlimited.
Guardian Unlimited Music Podcast. Brought to you in association with the Intel Core 2 Duo Processor. Go to intel.co.uk/multiply for more information.
Pseudoephedrine hydrochloride. I'm Paul McInnes and this is Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. Yes, the only podcast which thinks it has cancer. Or maybe it's a cold. Either way, we're demanding sympathy. In our first show since the last one, the Maccabees are in the pod. Yes, we'll be asking them about sounding British but not laddish and coping with the pressure of being the latest band to be labelled the next big thing in indie. They'll also be playing us an unplugged version of their new single. Also in the show, we look back on the carnage of this year's Camden Crawl, and New York rockers The Hold Steady tell us about their plans to conquer this side of the pond. Plus, there's new music from Foles, Dragonette and Travis, remember them. You want the truth? Oh, you can't handle the truth. This is Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. Now, as everyone knows, I can't do this all by myself. Actually, I could. It's a piece of piss. But it keeps my fellow podders off the streets, so here they are. She likes parsley, she's extremely sage, her first name's Rosemary, and, to stretch this gag as far as it'll go, she's always on time. It's Guardian Unlimited writer Rosie Swash.
Hi.
Hi, Rosie. And to continue the Paul Simon theme, slip sliding away, it's Music Weekly producer Ben Green.
I'm feeling very healthy indeed, thank you.
I don't know why, though, because you live such a dissolute lifestyle, Ben.
This is true.
Someday it will catch up with you. Anyway, Ben, I don't want you to sing. Usually at this point you might burst into a Rodgers and Hammerstein number, but we're not going to have that this week. Instead, I want you to play some music. That's Latchmere, the breakout song by our special guest this week, the Maccabees. As Eazy-E might have said, if he wasn't dead, they come straight out of Brighton. They take their name from the Bible, and just about everyone's been talking about them since they burst onto the scene some 2 years ago now. They're about to drop their major label debut, and believe me when I say seriously big things are expected of them, not least by us here in the studio. No pressure, Orlando and Felix. Welcome to the pod.
Hello, thank you very much. Cheers for having us.
Not at all. It's our pleasure entirely. Now, you're not brothers, are you? But one of you is brothers.
Yeah, my brother's not here.
Hugo's not here.
He's not here, no.
How does that work? How does that dynamic work? Because I know if I was to be in a band with my brother, one of us or t'other would be sulking almost the entire time.
It does get a bit like that, but it's nice to have one of your family around, I suppose.
Well, exactly. I suppose if it does get factional, you always can turn to blood.
Exactly.
Yeah. So who writes the lyrics?
I do.
You do. Because it's this stuff which I'm very interested in, because we've had in our chin-stroking Guardian way, there's been a lot of debate around our place this week about St George's Day and celebrating or not, or all that sort of stuff. And very prominently on your website, you talk about you thinking there's a fine line between being British and being laddish. And you say that your music is not of a laddish sort, but it does have something quintessentially English about it. So what is it you think that makes your music kind of English in that way?
We are English.
And
I gotcha.
But without wanting to sound like crass or anything, like that's, you know, we're a product of our environment, but to define Englishness is impossible. We need to, like,
you're going to tell them that you've been reading like Progressive Patriot.
I've been reading the Progressive Patriot.
I'll say.
It's got lots of Orwell quotes and, you know, that,
yeah,
kind of,
I thought you were going to throw a quote
about
out
the Hovis adverts and that kind of thing.
Well, this is what I was hoping we were going to get out of this, because there is this progressive Englishness, which is something that Billy Bragg kind of would go on about, tradition of free expression and rebellion as well, and it's not necessarily the same as that which demands that you wave the flag and stuff, but at the same time you might want to reclaim the flag for that kind of activity. I mean, would you actually go out and celebrate St George's Day when it comes to pass?
I've never celebrated St George's Day.
No.
Have you?
I've celebrated St
Patrick's Day, yeah.
But I've never... I did try to do a test. I can't remember which paper it was in the other day to see how English or what a patriot I was. I was rubbish.
What was the question?
Just like, do you know the third line to Jerusalem? And stuff like that. I didn't. I don't have a clue.
Not sure I even know the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it comes from you, Felix, because there's a real drive in your music as well. There's a real impetus, real high pace to it all. And where does that? Is that something kind of you communally wanted to get across in your music? Is it natural?
We're a band that made our name by playing live, so we wanted our live shows to be as exciting as possible. And so that's how it works, really. So we play quickly.
Yeah. And Rob can play fast.
Rob can play really fast, so...
Make him earn his corn.
Yeah.
Rosie?
I've seen you live several times, and I was at the infamous Café de Paris gig last summer, which really has gone down as quite legendary. One thing I remember about the gig was you, as a band, seemed to be really taken aback with the reaction of the crowd, which was pretty full on. Was that the moment where you thought, wow, this is getting pretty serious?
We've been on a tour playing to sort of 20 people in Newcastle and Wolves and stuff. And then all of a sudden there was loads of people and queues and stuff like that.
So it was a bit
of a shock, to be honest.
I mean, you do tour pretty mercilessly. Where's the gigging taking you?
Well, we're on tour at the moment. This is our day off. We were in Nottingham last night and we'll be in Portsmouth tomorrow.
We're going to America with Block Party.
Oh,
very
nice.
Next month.
It's 5,000 people
really?
Places. Like,
yeah.
We're going to Las Vegas and San Francisco. So we're getting to see a bit of it, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a good time. Wings.
When you go on those trips, do you get kind of like little stipends from the record label to keep you going? Can you go and spunk their money on kind of those machines with the arms?
They haven't treated us to a casino yet.
No.
Man, you should have.
We've had a gourmet burger.
Yeah. Record label.
Yeah, I got chips off it, so...
That'll come out your advance later on.
It's all the same thing.
That's the fact, when you first meet record labels, the only thing you notice is you eat a lot more steak than you did before.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because they're saying, "Hey, guys, we're serious about you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
here's a side order of onion rings."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you sign some and it's all burgers.
Yeah.
And then
And then by the end, it's not even meat. It's Niçoise or something.
Like going back to your record, which is coming up and is mighty massive, you work with Stephen Street.
He's one of the best there is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he asked us to do it, so that was an honour, without sounding too drab about it. And he did The Queen Is Dead, so that's a bit ridiculous.
Having listened to yourself on MySpace and listened to it early on, and then even the subtler changes that a producer comes in and makes change the feel of a whole record. But how do you feel from a creative point of view that your songs and someone else comes along and says, "Oh, I think you should do this"? Is it hard to take?
A little bit. There wasn't really any pre-production on this record at all. He sort of came down, listened to the songs, and went, "Yeah." Let's do it. And that was literally that. We didn't.
20 minutes later, album.
Yeah, we had the record finished.
It was easy.
No, there wasn't any changes, really, was there?
Yeah. There's a couple of things, like just shortening sections or taking this bridge out or whatever, but, you know, if we didn't want to do it, we wouldn't do it, so. At the end of the day, you can't make it happen, so. And it was. That's the thing, it's a group decision, and. It's just the weird thing is when you respect someone so much and you sort of hold him in such esteem to say no to someone like that. It takes a little bit of something.
You probably get a kick out of it, though, don't you?
Yeah, at the end of the day. I said no. No, but I didn't say no a lot, to be honest.
No.
I'm Paul McInnes, and you're listening to Music Weekly from Guardian Unlimited. Still to come, Travis are back, biggity back. But did you notice that they were gone in the first place? We review their comeback dongle. Remember, that's a single plus download in just a moment. And Rosie will be casting her critical eyes over this year's Camden Crawl. Were you there too? That's all coming up, but first. Well, pardon my French, but it's time for a roundup of the music news that's been hitting the headlines this week. The Arctic Monkeys' new album, Favourite Worst Nightmare, which was released this week, is outselling all the other acts in the top 20 combined. Competitors include Cascada, The Fray and Ray Quinn, which has left some industry experts wondering why the Monkeys are doing so poorly. A new book featuring the favourite recipes of rock stars has been published in the States. When we say recipes, we mean those featuring food. The book of recipes involving alcohol, pharmaceutical drugs, asphyxiation and small monkeys is still awaiting a publishing date. And finally, Sheryl Crow. Yes, Sheryl Crow believes that people should limit themselves to one piece of toilet paper per visit in order to save the environment. Which is all very well, but what about the messier jobs? Like providing steroid-free stool samples for your cyclist boyfriend. And that was your music news this week. It is, as they say, tough at the top. Just ask Timbaland and Nelly Furtado. They've been toppled by the gruesome twosome, well, gruesome, some might say, of Shakira and Beyonce, who've been crowned the UK's number one. And in spite of our best advice here on Music Weekly, Natasha Bedingfield's got up to number 7 in the charts, while the Enemy are at number 8. People, what are you doing? To properly fulfil our public service remit, over in album land, Avril Lavigne's at number 1, with Mark Ronson's version at numero dos. But that is all for now, because we should move on to what's about to come up and go on sale in the 7 days coming. First up, it's 4 boys from Glasgow who met at art school. Now, it's not Franz Ferdinand. This is the comeback from Travis, and it's called Closer. Broken up, so that's the first single from new album The Boy With No Name, which is produced by Brian Eno and Nigel Godrey. It's been on MySpace for ages, and the video has a cameo by Ben Stiller, so they're obviously hanging around in highfalutin circles. They're also playing Coachella this weekend, and a huge UK tour starts in May. But are you happy to have them back, Rosie Swash?
I think a lot of people are going to be very dismissive of Travis because of what they represent. That shift at the end of Britpop, when just nothing was going on in music except for them and like David Gray and that kind of thing, and it felt a little bit low-key.
Oh.
But I don't think you should hate them for that. I don't love their music, but I think they're nice guys.
You can't judge their music.
All right, I don't really like the single, but I don't want to be horrible about it, because I think that's what everyone's going to do, and it's not very nice.
I see.
It's not a bad song.
Mm-hmm. Maccabees, are you going to be horrible, or are you going to say...
I agree with you, actually. They did sort of become supermarket music, I suppose, but... I've still got a place in my heart for Travis, I suppose. They just do what they do, don't they? I don't think anyone needs to slag them off.
Exactly.
Still nice songs.
All right, then. I'm just going to scrub out that little bit then. Ben?
Well, I like Scottish music, and I like miserable music, or indeed melancholy music. That, however, that sounds like the sound of smugness. It sounds like three-quarter-length trousers on Primrose Hill, probably discussing whether or not to send your children to private school. Probably reading The Guardian as well at the same time.
You should go into marketing or kind of market research or something. It looks like you can kind of collar demographics in an instant.
And I'll conclude by saying it's just lazy. I think that music's moved on from there. I think they're now sounding like Snow Patrol, who they begat.
Let's move on from St. Glasgow Melancholia to some Toronto stroke London based sexy pop. This is Dragonette and I Get Around. So they're from Canada, but they live in London, and barely a day goes by without me getting some kind of PR material about this band. They're kind of like an adult pop, but what do we think about the Maccabees?
That doesn't sound like the sort of thing we'd normally listen to, does it?
It's sort of similar to the Travis thing. I'm just not really that bothered.
It's not always good. Right. It's not always good to have an opinion, though. Sometimes it's better just to kind of sit on the fence and just go, oof.
Well, that's why we're here, innit?
Rosie?
I don't like it at all. It's just that it's all about sex, and it's all really try-hard, and so it's not sexy at all. It's just a bit gross.
Well, I read your review. You reviewed it on the website yesterday, and it was very, I thought, an excoriating review of all these kind of cheapo puns that are going on with regards to I'm coming, not going, and all that sort of
thing. It's just not very sexy, is it? It's like, oh, yeah, you don't want to... It's just horrible.
Yeah, well, the video's full of PVC catsuits and all that sort of stuff, which doesn't do it for me, but may just do it for...
I'm sorry to disappoint you. No, I couldn't agree with Rosie more. It's not nearly as sexy or funny or clever as they like to think they are. There you go.
Let's pass over. So time for our final dongle of the week. It's by the band Foals, and it's called Hummer. Shine like failure, race like liars. That's part of a double A side from the Oxford Five piece. Their music's been described as techno for kids who hate techno but love guitars, although that sounded pretty techno-y to me. They've got a lot of buzz after playing outside of South by Southwest. Do they merit it, Ben?
I'm a terrible dancer, but that's the kind of tune that will just make me do that really embarrassing thing and just kind of jump up and down and move my hands while I'm listening to my iPod on the street. I love that.
On the street.
Sometimes on the tube. Sometimes.
You'll get forced to the ground.
Sometimes when I'm just sitting down. No, I absolutely love that. I can't listen to that passively. It makes me want to move. That's a nice image for you all.
It is. Yeah. For you out there in listener land. Maccabees, do you know this lot? Do you know the Force?
Well, not personally. I've heard so many good things about them live. I really want to see them. We haven't had a chance yet. But
what do you make of that?
That sounds great, yeah.
There's a lot of this kind of dance and rock thing going on, but I like the way that the techno stuff is so high up there in the mix, and the kind of the guitars are almost the secondary element. Rosie. Actually, no, I want to know quickly, before we ask you, Rosie, it's a really boring question, but they'll always describe this band as being angular, and there's lots of other bands that have been described as angular. You may even have been described as being angular yourself.
We have, yeah.
What is angular?
I reckon it's something to do just...
That's probably a perfect description of it, actually.
Not loads of reverb and delay and
sharp
stuff,
guitar lines.
So another one of these things where you try and put a visual description to an oral thing. That's what journalists do. Rosie, what do you think of that song?
I think it's very angular. I do like them, but they've been really hyped, and also I think they're a little bit overstyled. And I think because of the music they make, it's quite hard to see past that. I think it's, you know, all the press shots of them are quite amazing, you know, all done up in the sports gear and really beautifully taken, but it's just maybe a little bit, doesn't feel as natural as it should do, as you would like to approach.
But Rosie, you're talking about the image again and not the music.
Sorry. But that's what I mean, is it overcomes the music a little bit if you're sort of constantly bombarded.
Yeah. I saw them about a few months ago, and they're noticeably less styled than they are nowadays, so obviously preparing them for big things. Now, Ben wants to introduce a new feature. It's a new feature. It's called Dongle of the Week, where we decide which one was the best one out of the three we reviewed. Do we have a consensus?
Foles.
Is it Foles?
Yeah,
Foles. It's Foles.
It's got to be the Foles.
OK. There's lots more reviews where they come from. We kind of do reviews to death in our media organisation. You've got them on Friday in the Film and Music section. You've got them in Saturday in the Guide. You got them last Sunday on the Observer Music Monthly. And you get them every Tuesday with Rosie Swash's highly politically engaged singles club, and that's on a Tuesday. So head to guardian.co.uk/music to get all of them, or to your newsagent on the respective days. Now then, that's a taste of the latest single from Brooklyn rockers, The Hold Steady. They're kind of like the US equivalent of the Arctic Monkeys, in that they're loved by the critics and music fans alike. The only difference being they're about 15 years older. Now, they've been in the UK this week, as they say, playing some shows. And Michael Hann, he's the editor of The Guardian's Film and Music section, and my deadly rival, kind of think Megatron to my Optimus Prime. Well, he's a huge fan of the band, and so we let him into the studio to do the questioning honours. He began by asking them whether they see themselves as a classic American rock band.
That may have something to do with most of us being from the Midwest, or it may not. It's just, you know, coming out of Brooklyn.
I think it has a lot to do also with being, like, oriented in our roots of where we're from, too. You know, it's like I think a lot of people move to New York and have this idea, which is great, too, of reinventing themselves and kind of trying to leave behind where you're from. But I think that we very much have moved to New York and very much been proud of where we're from and tried to translate that to the New York experience.
You sound like a band to listen to at barbecues while drinking beer, probably after the second Led Zeppelin album. Is that the life that you've led?
Well, kind of. I mean, that's how I learned how to play guitar. It's like I had a lot of kids in the neighborhood that I grew up in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, that were a little bit older than me, that I kind of borrowed records from them and sort of got my first guitar from a friend of mine. And then, of course, you know, you into punk rock and hardcore and stuff like that. But my initial exposure to music was AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Queen, stuff like that.
I came up in music through punk and hardcore and then indie stuff. You know, kind of discovered classic rock or kind of paid attention to classic rock the more the older I got. And, you know, just listening to the Rolling Stones and thinking, you know, coming home to my 500 indie records and then, you know, putting on Exile on Main Street every night, it's like, this sounds better. You know, this sounds more fun. And I think it allows us to, we wanted to create something looser, kind of have a little more flexibility on stage. And that kind of loose, the classic rock sort of format lends itself to that.
The kind of music that we play now allows us to really pay attention to what everybody's doing. And I guess I hate to use this word format-wise, like in the songs. And it's like some nights it's like the song might be 3.5 minutes and another night it might be 6 minutes. And I think it's just like, you know, us paying attention to what everybody's playing seems like more of what rock and roll traditionally was really about. As opposed to the indie rock scene, it seemed like everybody was just kind of regurgitating this thing that they had rehearsed and practiced and then was kind of racing towards the finish line to get through their 40-minute, 60-minute set or whatever, where I think, like, you know, in the true sense of playing rock and roll together and playing as five musicians together on stage allows you to really pay attention to what everybody's doing.
That was The Guardian's film and music editor, Michael Hand, talking with Tad Kublow and Craig Finn from The Hold Steady. Their new single, Stop Between Stations, is out right now. To see when they're playing near you, go to theholdsteady.com. And if you enjoyed that little snippet there, you can download the entire interview as part of our new Music Extra podcast. Yes, we're giving you even more rubbish to torture your ears with. And if you don't like it, well, you don't have to bloody well listen to it, do you? Okay, after a slow start, the Music Weekly blog is becoming even more essential to readers Joe Mott's Hot and Victoria Newton's Showbiz Puff, also known as Bizarre, not to mention The Great Gatsby. This week, it was an eclectic mix of reviews and opinions, some insightful, some nasty, all of them highly entertaining. Anyway, amongst the choices cut, there was general agreement that Ash are one of the most underrated bands of the last decade. There was the correct pronunciation of Rosie's favourite neo-expressionist, Jean-Michel Basquiat. And the post-Britpop career of Menswear, Princess Benelux, were on the case and we'll try and reform them for you. But we digress. One of the posts on the blog was Mr. Mystery, our resident dope fiend and composer of mystery tunes par excellence. Last week, he demonstrated our contempt for a particular artist who let us down and whose album we'd implore you not to buy. Which band might that be? Rosie, care to give us the whole story? Whole story inside the envelope now, yeah. As well as the name of the winner.
Just give us a minute. Okay. Answer, The Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys, because they were supposed to be on the show.
What a great story that is.
Yeah.
What a great story.
Vicky Preston from Molly and Leeds.
Not so much a story as an epic. But, sorry, Vicky Preston from Leeds. Vicky, well done, Vicky, because you are not only going to get our congratulations, but you're also going to win a plethora of Ash-related prizes. Who knows, maybe even one of Mark's jalapenos too. If you want to follow in Vicky's footstep, have a go. I say footstep, she's actually got two footsteps. Have a go at identifying this week's bit of mischief. Here it comes. Mr. Mystery, we salute you. As always, it's related to something you've heard about in the show. And so email the name of the tune and why we picked it to music.editor@guardianunlimited.co.uk. And if you're as good as Mr. Mystery on the panpipes, I think we'd like to hear from you too. I think I'm willing to create a section of the show called Panpipe of the Week if you are capable of producing some popular music on panpipes. Anyway, lucky winner will receive a whole manner of Maccabee's Bits and Bobs. But my throat, feeling rougher than Doc Cotton's larynx after a night on the second-hand cider and Cuban cigars, for all our overseas listeners, that's pretty rough. I'm going to gargle some water, which has been injected with salt, and also has lemon and honey. I couldn't even swallow it, man. My throat is that bad, which means that I should really shut up and allow Losey Swash to take over in the section we love to call... Swash! Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
What have you been doing?
Well, last week I spent a gruelling 2 days at the band bonanza that is London's Camden Crawl, as you are well aware.
I'm well aware, because I was with you for some of it.
Yeah.
And what did you get up to there?
Well, mostly hanging around trying to interview bands, but, you know, enjoying the sunshine. There's quite a lot of beer flowing, which was nice. There's about, just to give you a perspective of what it's like, about 12,000 people were there. They're descending upon Camden to see just hundreds of bands dotted around all the insalubrious venues around Camden. And like most festivals, it was just a lot of fun to be walking around, bumping into bands, seeing people having a good time in the middle of the afternoon. To give you an idea of how this mammoth event is all put together, here's organiser Lisa Polon describing what goes on behind the scenes at the Crawl.
We have a committee who we feel are the best tastemakers of the whole country. Steve Lamack, Queens of Noise, John Kennedy from XFM. They're all doing club nights and they're all writing about music, and so they know about stuff really early on. So they put forth what they think is going to be hot in the coming months. Then we vote on it all as a committee. So it's not just one person's choice, and, you know, I would never claim to know. You know, all the cream rises to the top, and so we do really well with that. So,
with bands like Ashen, you've got Amy Winehouse, these sort of last-minute announcements. How does that work? Do they just get in contact with you and say, we really want to play the Camden Crawl? And you're like, yeah, okay,
yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, they all just banging, knocking on the door. Now, you know what it is that a lot of those bands, like Ash, for example, come exactly from these roots. And so the reason why we have bands like Ash and Supergrass alongside bands like The Damned, and we've had Buzzcocks and Echo and the Bunnymen, because you know, it's just about as much as educating people about alternative music from the past that is still that made an influence over these bands as the new bands today. So, you know, it's also good to show that kind of camaraderie between the big artists and small artists, where, you know, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that all the artists at the Camden Crawl are equally billed in an alphabetical order, and there's no headliners, and it's just different in that respect to any other kind of festivals where billing's always such a big issue.
So that's Lisa there, and I think the thing that she pointed out, which is really good, is that Camden Crawl it combines people you've never ever heard of, totally different kinds of acts, and people like, you know, Camden natives like Amy Winehouse or indie stalwarts like Ash, and it does it very effectively. And I think the reason it does it is because Camden's got such a sort of, historically speaking, it's just got a great legacy when it comes to music and when it comes to sort of alternative culture. And I think it was just a perfect place to have to present new bands.
So who did you see that you thought were good?
Unfortunately, because I was blogging, I spent most of the afternoon attending the Secret Baby Shambles gig, which was a bit of a waste of time, and had to get to the Dublin Castle for about 8 o'clock to make sure I saw Amy Winehouse, but that wasn't a waste of time. So I collected opinions from various people I know that were there on who stood out. So Hadouken are the ones that a lot of people are talking about, and they really do divide opinion. You sort of love them or hate them, I think. I did get to see them, and in my opinion, the crowd, I mean, they were just going mental. They're a bit like Enter Shikari. They combine a lot of different genres. They're really heavy, really heavy going. But if anything, you know, if you don't like them, fine. But if you go by the crowd's reaction, then they're going to be a big hit. Jack Pignato, who you'll be hearing at the moment, I've seen him several times before, and I didn't get to catch him this time, but you get a very different perception of him as an artist when you see him live. He's kind of rough-edged rockabilly, and he often really amps up his acoustic stuff when he plays live, and the people that did see him said that he went down really well, and he just keeps getting better and better. Finally, Kid Harpoon, who you'll also be hearing soon. He's a singer-songwriter who's sort of known for doing this rabble-rousing version of Leonard Cohen's First We'll Take Manhattan, and his music's actually really quite genial and romantic folk music, but it's really raucous when he's live. He manages to make it sort of really loud and consuming, but apparently this is one of the first times he's played with the full backing band, so good to us, it all went down very well, and that's a lot.
So over to the Maccabees. Did you make it at all to the Crawl?
No, we were on tour, so we didn't make it this time. We did it last year, which it was amazing. It seemed like a great thing to be involved in. Our mates the Rumblestrips, they were a wonderful band. They played and they said it was great.
Are you going to be doing much festivalising yourself this
summer? We're going to be doing almost everything, I think, in England. We're doing Glastonbury, which is a big one.
Cool.
It's going to be. We've never been to Glastonbury, so.
Because this was one of the things that, of all the leaking that's been going on with the Glastonbury lineup, there seems to be a lot of established acts and quite a few unsigned ones, but not kind of the new acts that you'll go to see that you haven't necessarily seen before. But are you getting the feeling that your peers and people you gig with and stuff, are they Are they on the lineups as well?
Yeah. That music nowadays is like sort of real merging of the underground scene with mainstream. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone knows who the Young Knives are or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a sort of consciousness of hundreds of bands. Which is great because when people come to festivals, they've already heard of these bands and they can go and see them rather than just being a tent that no one even bothers going and looking at.
Rosie?
I wanted to ask you about one of your earlier singles which didn't make it onto the album, Bicycle Rush.
Wasn't a single. It was on a single, yeah, sorry, yeah.
Why did it not make it on? Is it because I took away from it that it was about the July 7th bombings? Mm. Is that because you just felt that by the time it got round to the album, the time had passed? Because I thought it was a really, it could have been a single, really strong.
It's still one of those songs we still play it live, and it's something nice for the people that are into us 2 years ago. Something nice for them to have, do you know what I mean, at the gigs. So we're still going to play it live. It's a good song to play, but it just didn't really fit on the record.
Time has passed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Sting and Trudy Styler, I wish we could go on and on forever. But alas, dear listener, that's it for another show. Thanks so much to the band, as I've already said, but I'll repeat it because it's here in the script, for coming to the pod. The new single, Precious Time, is out on the 7th of May. The album, Colour It In, is in the shops a week later. So do go out and get yourself a copy or stay in and let the computer do it for you. The boys are playing pretty much everywhere in the UK this summer, as we've already discussed. So head to the fabulous themaccabees.co.uk with two C's and two B's for more details and some kind of actual video tips on how to draw properly. Now, you lot, if you want to comment on anything you've heard on this week's show, you should know what to do by now. But if you don't, please do email at music.editor@guardianunlimited.co.uk or post your thoughts on the blog. Remember, too, that this week you can listen to Michael Hand's full interview with the Hold Steady as part of our new Music Extra download. And if you still haven't had enough of us by then, which I'm sure you will have done, really, check out our archive at guardian.co.uk/music/podcast. Next week, Misery Loves Company, and we love Malcolm Middleton. The ex-Arab strapper will be in the pod. And all being well, Alexis Petridis, our chief music critic, will be popping along, too. Which just leaves me to say, Rosie Swash, Mighty Massive.
Mighty Massive. Crazy Fresh.
Music Weekly is produced by the one, the only Benjamino Del Guino. And I've been Paul McInnes. I'm playing us out with an exclusive unplugged version of Precious Time. This is The Maccabees. Toe for toe, nowhere to go. So I'm tiptoeing around it. Held it down and I held my own. Now I feel like I'm floating. You'll need heart and I'll need courage. We all need time, so let's make time work for us. Let's make time work for us. Let's take our precious time about it. Let's take our precious time about it. Let's take our precious time about it. Take our precious time about it. Don't you know, nobody knows. If there's somebody waiting, hold yourself up and hold yourself in. And pray that you're growing. You'll need heart and I'll need courage. We all need time. So let's make time work for us. Let's make time work for us. Let's take our precious time about it. Let's take our precious time about it. Let's take our precious time about it. Let's take our precious time about it.
Guardian Unlimited Music Podcast, brought to you in association with the Intel Core 2 Duo Processor. Go to intel.co.uk/multiply for more information. Guardian Unlimited.